Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about the complexity of the thought process for a human being. In this show, we will explore the saying, "To err is human, to forgive divine," an essay on criticism by Alexander Pope. Listen as we discuss the possibilities that present themselves as an individual forsakes human criticism for divine knowing. There are no lasting advantages to becoming a good human. Step out of this old theology into a new spiritual you. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of divine giving. Well, Swami, so let's get started right away. Let's break down that saying, to err is human, to forgive divine. First of all, what does it mean to err?
To be in error, to make mistakes. And I think it really comes out of the old theology, which implies, and I got this from dictionary.cambridge.org, something that you say that means that it is natural for people to make mistakes, and it is important to forgive people when they do. This line of thinking completely misses the message of the Christ, which says, be perfect like your Father. Or, as Mary Baker Eddy says in an article that she wrote called The Body, for this teaching deals only with the changing conditions of the personal mentality and not with the changeless state of being, the changeless mind, the omnipresence. And in that very same article, she goes on and she says, Paul tells us not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's a quote from 2 Corinthians 3:5. And she continues, our sufficiency to think is of God. Our ability to form thoughts and opinions is of our own ignorance, our belief in duality. But our power or sufficiency to think is when we think with God as God. She really, I think, drills down with this concept of error.
So let's get back to the saying, to err is human. So you're saying to err obviously means to error, to be in error. So what does that look like when we are in error as human?
Right. And this is the thing that I've really been working with. To be human, and in this model, being human is a level of consciousness that has accepted a belief in two powers. Humans are mortal, critical, judgmental, and limited to a divided view of everything. To be human is to be individualized by the world mind, which is basically the shadow of divine mind, and it's under the law of karma. The human experience is really all about getting, as opposed to the divine experience, which is about giving.
So I'd like to talk more about your first quote that you had mentioned when you said, this line of thinking completely misses the message of the Christ, which says, be perfect like your Father. I think we've all heard something like that. growing up in whatever church services that we have attended as children and so on. So to be perfect like your father, that means that we shouldn't even recognize or be aware that there are any mistakes if God is perfect.
Yeah, this is something that's taking me some time to learn and realize, is that what appears in our senses, what we call thinking, and what Mary Baker Eddy called the three modes of mortal thought, is really a false concept of the truth of our being. It is the world mind. And the world mind is the shadow of the truth, which is divine mind. World thought made visible is appearing in our senses. So the testimony of our senses is really the error. It's the false sense of who we are. And the entire human experience is embroiled in that dynamic. And so what we really want to try and do is, as it's said in the Bible, we want to be born again of the Spirit. And that means that we have to forsake the testimony of our senses, what is appearing before us, and we have to trust in what is invisible and intangible, which is God's creation. So in truth, this is a spiritual universe. And what is appearing before us isn't even real. And if we can have fidelity to that which is underneath what appears, then that actually has a huge effect on the external experience.
So to be perfect like your father, you're saying, is we shouldn't recognize if things are inharmonious, let's say.
Right, because anything that does not have the qualities or the characteristics of perfection does not have divine origins. And so to be able to distinguish between the things that are imperfect, impermanent, and finite from that which is permanent, infinite, and perfect, that requires, I think, a really educated consumer.
And I have another question about the quote that you mentioned earlier about Mary Baker Eddy. And you said that the changing conditions of the personal mentality, it's a lot of words strung together. What exactly does that mean?
That's basically our ability to form thoughts and opinions. And that's what she's saying, is of our own ignorance. And it's really a belief in duality. And duality is the shadow of the truth. It is the divided consciousness. It is that which has separated from the truth of being. And it's not real. And that means that it doesn't have any principle. It's not backed by the power of spirit. And spirit is really the only power in this universe, the only true power. Everything else relies on belief and reaction to give it power.
And then, so if we do that, then that is when we are exercising the human being in error.
Right. When we react to the testimony of our senses, then that's in violation of divine law. And that's what moves us under the law of karma. Karma is the law of reciprocity, that whatever it is that we put out is what we get back. It's the perfect accountant. Whereas divine law is just absolute life, absolute goodness, absolute love. To give fidelity to the presence of spirit is really what activates spirit in our experiences.
So I think I came across error myself the other day. I do deal with the older population with my work, and I had called one of our clients to confirm an appointment, and she said to me over the phone, she says, "Oh, I feel lousy." And I said to her, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that." And I recognized right after I said that, that, you know, I think I was in error right then and there, because I shouldn't be recognizing anything but the perfection of her being. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I think when we do stuff like that, it's very helpful to be reflective on it. And then to maybe say, given the opportunity, what would I do differently? And then you meditate on it until you can come up with a response that's more in sync with your new understanding of yourself. Just like you said, when we are accepting sin, sickness, suffering, lack, we are really sowing to the flesh. And for us to pierce through that and recognize that divine law is perfect, harmonious, whole, peaceful, and well, and unchanging, not accept what it is that is appearing in our experience at that time. And by holding fidelity to the presence of spirit, the perfection of being, it will have a profound effect on the external experience. That was how Mary Baker Eddy and Jesus could heal. And like we have said in other shows, that this information is backed by science. Science is telling us that observation has effect on reality. And it is the observer that sets the measurement for what's called the collapse of the wave function. What science hasn't really delved into is modes of thinking. And for us to forsake human thinking, which is basically keeping us in the belief in two powers, and for us to understand divine mind, which is the only mind, the only true consciousness of this existence, and for us to think, as Mary Baker Eddy says, with God as God, will show us the perfection of this being. But if the observer sets the measurement, for us to think with God as God should change the external appearance. It should change the external image. And this is the stuff that they have proved with their divine sciences and their demonstration of these divine principles.
So in the example that I just gave that happened to me yesterday, I guess I'm pleased that I recognize that I was in error, but it's interesting that we are so conditioned to have these canned responses in certain situations, so we have to try to undo all of that.
Right, and isn't that what we talked about in the element of Pisces in the 12th house, which is our ability to undo? And for us to translate everything back into spirit, back into the one divine life. And to be able to start to do that more as that being your conditioned response, that's why we practice being spiritual.
So again, in my example, what would you have said to that patient on the phone? After she said, "I feel lousy."
Well, maybe something to the effect like, "Well, you sound great. You sound really strong." Rather than maybe trying to convert her into your way of thinking, you know, just to support that you are seeing a part of her that is outside her field of awareness at this time. Because for most of us, we don't really understand that we are eternal spiritual beings, that we are made in the image and likeness of divine perfection. And so because we sow to the flesh and the testimony of our senses, we are susceptible to all of these suggestions. But for us not to give in to that, and for us to hold fidelity to the presence of spirit, will really have a profound effect on how that person may even start to see themselves.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, we did spend some time talking about to err as human, but let's talk about the second part of the phrase, to forgive divine. And specifically, the word forgive, as it's written in the quote, is as one word. So we want to talk about that, and then we want to break it up into two words, and then we need to break down divine. So what can you tell us about to forgive?
Yeah, to be divine in this model means to accept one's spiritual identity, to be individualized by divine mind, and to be too pure to behold iniquity. To be reborn of the spirit is to be under the government of the divine law of life, which is absolute goodness and eternal life. As we said, it is forgiving. We must serve God, which means that we display divine qualities only, that what it is that we're putting out is going to be entirely of a divine nature.
So you were saying that earlier, the divine experience, which is for and then giving. So how do we know when we are examples of that?
Yeah, it's going to really start to have to demonstrate itself as your experiences. That is the one thing that we really want to rely on, the testimony of our senses. In the Bible, a term that they use is by its fruits. So whatever it is that we're putting out is really going to be what it is that we get back. The exchange of energy when we are drawing from matter and mind is that we are taking in. And that's the term that we use, that is forgetting. But once you have turned your attention inward and you have recognized yourself as being spirit, then you must change the exchange of energy that you have with your environment, and that is forgiving. So it's giving out, the pouring out, because you are connected to an inexhaustible resource of absolute love, absolute goodness. And so all you want to do is give out. There is no need for anything with regard to a personal sense of who you are.
So it's by us demonstrating the divine qualities is how we put out.
Right. Because say, for example, this is something that we've talked about in yoga, that the term in Kriya Yoga is avidya, or ignorance, which is when we mistake the finite for the infinite, the impermanent for the permanent, which is a very common human error. And when we do that, our lives are usually in shambles, but we think we're spiritual. Or even it could just be for under a isolated incident where we get into an accident, or we come down with a sickness, or we find ourselves in a situation where there is lack and limitation. these do not have divine qualities, but we, at the same time, we still think that we are being spiritual. This comes under what we call the old theology. This is the way our religions and science present these rules. We use spirit as some sort of a power or force to help us improve our human experience. And it really doesn't work like that at all.
Well, in the summary, we stated there are no lasting advantages to becoming a good human. And then we say step out of this old theology into a new spiritual you. But I want to go back to talking about there are no lasting advantages to becoming a good human. If we are putting out and demonstrating divine qualities, wouldn't that be us being a good human?
Possibly. And in Revelations of St. John, Class 1:1, Herbfitch says, only through the indwelling spirit in you can you know God. We must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator, which is spiritual. Only Christ knows Christ, and like attracts like. So if our identity is bound up in form and thought, then we are at a frequency that we do not invite the invisible, intangible presence of spirit into our consciousness. And so from that perspective, we are still a human. And if we maintain human identity, we are in error of divine law.
So just by us doing good deeds and things like that, that's what most people would think being a good human is. And so the phrase that there are no lasting advantages to becoming a good human, that means that we could do all the good deeds we wanted, but that still isn't going to get us closer to God or closer to heaven when we pass.
Right. And again, that's what we call the old theology. That's the way the rules seem to play out. But those are man-made rules. And the thing that's different about them is that they don't demonstrate divine qualities. That most of them have all of these clauses and reasons why they don't appear to work the way they're supposed to. There's so many of us out there that are praying to our concept of God, and yet at the same time, we find that we're not under the protection of divine law. And yet we continue to believe that this is the way that it's going to work. And in truth, it doesn't work that way. Spirit cannot function in your experience if you are not conscious of its presence. The key here is that you must be conscious of the presence of this one divine life. And when we turn inward, we're going to find that there are a lot of things inward that could fall under the heading of what we think is spirit. And the major error is when we think we're spiritual, but we are still hypnotized by the belief in matter, mortality, and two powers.
So again, going back to that example with the patient on the phone who said she was lousy, so we would need to look at a person like that in the way in which they are created, which is a divine spiritual being, and not as a sick person on the other end of the phone.
Right. And when you actually make that adjustment, and you do not accept the finite image, the false sense of identity, and you pierce through that and you hold true to the simple fact that that is the one divine life appearing as a person on the other end of the phone, and you have fidelity to the perfection of being, that will start to have a profound effect on her experience. Because by you lifting consciousness for yourself, maintaining that level of consciousness, it's kind of like when the tide comes in, it lifts all the boats. And so by us changing how we're thinking, it has an effect on the world mind and on the collective consciousness.
I think I understand. I still have difficulty, I guess I would say, because even if somebody is not feeling well, like in her case, you can hear it in their voice over their phone. And especially if you see somebody who isn't well. So it's getting past what your senses are telling you, because you can't undo what you hear and you can't undo what you see. So how do you get past that?
Well, the Bible tells us to repent. And the term repent really means to think differently. So we are accustomed to living out from our five senses. And in Kriya Yoga, there is the fifth stage, which is called Pratyahara, which is sense withdrawal. Now, what we basically have to do is we have to switch gears. We go from sense level logic to spiritual sense. We go now from listening to the testimony of our senses to having faith in the perfection of being, the presence of this one divine life. And by us holding fidelity to that, that is how we affect the desired outcome in the external experience.
I have one more curiosity, and that would be, we've talked about when we see somebody and we need to be careful to make sure that we see them in the way that they are created. But what if the tables are turned and somebody maybe criticizes us or they see something in us that isn't divine? How do we respond to that?
Well, I think in the exact same way, we don't accept it. It's not real. And as a result, you hold to your divine image that you continue to live out from your soul sense. The way that I've been trying to do that on a regular basis is that, first of all, I'm not dealing with a person. I'm dealing with the one divine life that is appearing before me as a person. Because if I lose sight of that, then all of a sudden I recognize that this is a person coming at me, criticizing me. And so that actually becomes a signal that I'm in ignorance. Because if you were in the truth of your being, that can't possibly happen. And if it is happening, then you have to turn your attention back to your consciousness. Because whatever is happening in your experience is happening in your consciousness. So you go back and you make the adjustment. You don't try and fix it out there, because that's the reflection, and that isn't real at all. And so by turning your attention inward and changing how you're thinking, until eventually it starts to change the external experience.
So again, it kind of sounds like what my dad used to always say, and that is take responsibility. And I think he meant about everything. Don't blame other people. You need to take responsibility and be responsible. That was a big lesson for him to give to us, to his children.
Right. Until all that you see is the one perfect divine law. Spirit is absolute, whole, complete, eternal, and it's only good. Because it's whole, it doesn't report in a human sense mind. So we keep looking, seeking, asking for something, but spirit rests in perfect divine unity.
Well, that's a great place to end our show for this morning. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.iyogaakshayayoga.com. ipdtransform.com. There are a lot of tools on the website to further your spiritual developments. If you want to access some of the Blog Talk Radio shows, they're there listed on the first page, the home page, three quarters of the way down. You'll see Swami Says recent posts. You'll see a bunch of them there listed. You can access Swami's free webinar on Wednesdays at noon by clicking on the online classes tab. Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to make no mistake that you are eternal spiritual being, forever held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of life. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.